Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy customizable themes that let you build your brand. Marketing tools that get your products out there, and that's just the beginning. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go. Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you. Shopify, your all-in-one commerce platform.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com.au/listen.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Coming up, small gains for the Australian share market this financial year, gold at an 8-month low, and how big is super? All of that and more next. Hi everyone, welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Tuesday, the 30th of June 2026. It's a day where the Australian share market fell 0.5%, but it's the final day of the financial year. The index rising, but just by 2.8%. We'll talk about what it means for superannuation in a moment with Jeff Brunton from HESTA soon. But as I mentioned, the ASX 200 up 2.77% over the past 12 months. That doesn't include dividends though, but it does underperform global markets. In the US, for example, the S&P 500 added around 20% this financial year. For more, I spoke with Kai Chen. He's the head of investment at MPC Markets. So Kai, a pretty uninspiring end today to the financial year. Looking back at the past 12 months, how would you describe the market's local performance?
Yeah, no, it's been a bit of a lackluster year, only been up about 3.2% for the ASX. Now, it's a bit of a tale of two stories because we've got the commodities on the ASX which have done actually fairly well over the last year. So, you know, you've got BHP, Rio, which has all done incredibly well. But then other segments like the banking sector as well as, you know, the healthcare sector, which hasn't done so well, and a lot of the tech stocks, which have been, you know, under pressure for this year.
But how does it compare with global markets, because we've underperformed, right?
Absolutely. So, you know, in comparison to the US market or the Korean market, and it's been buoyed by a lot of the tech stocks. So in the US, you know, you've got the likes of Nvidia, Micron, Lam Research, all the big chip stocks, the tech, the AI thematic has been very strong this year, especially in the data centers as well as the chip sector, which has buoyed the AI theme. You know, so we're continuing to see that rally. And in Korea, similar story with SK Hynix and Samsung. So, you know, the continuation of AI thematic.
If we look at what's making news today, gold is now at an 8-month low. So if you remember the days of people lining up around the street in Martin Place to buy gold bullion, right? It seems like it was a long time away. What's happened? And is it still an opportunity though?
Yes, yeah, certainly been a wild ride over the last half a year for the precious metals. We had an incredible 1.5 to 2 years rally in gold and silver. But basically when the Iran war started, there was fears of inflation. And that's caused that the flow on effect of that is actually that there's more talks of rate hikes both in the US, and we've seen three rate hikes in Australia already. So the inflation is a key story, and that's really put a bit of pressure on the precious metal theme.
The RBA board meeting minutes out today as well. It reinforced that it will do whatever is necessary to deliver price stability and full employment, and that includes raising the cash rate. Is that still something the market believes will happen?
Yeah, there's potentially one more rate hike to come. Well, it's really data dependent at the moment. So the CPI that came out for May was 4%. So it was within expectations, but it's still above where the RBA band is targeting. Now, we've had three rate hikes so far in the year, and that's really put a dampener on the housing market. So there's potentially one more rate hike to come later on the year, but again, it's dependent on inflation.
And so now what are you telling your clients right now, and where do you see the opportunities for investors as we head into the new financial year?
Yeah, we are seeing a bit of sector rotation. So healthcare on the ASX has been quite downtrodden. So we've had the likes of CSL and Cochlear, which has taken an absolute beating in terms of share price. as well as Telix. But we are seeing some green shoots there because the valuation for these companies are extremely low, and I think it presents a good opportunity for those people who haven't got them.
That's Kai Chen there from MPC Markets. Now, despite the small market return, researchers at ChantWest say the median growth option is likely to have returned 9.2% over the past 12 months. It's not a bad superannuation return. To tell us more, including his reaction to a new APRA report highlighting the importance Australia's growing super sector is having on the nation's financial stability, I spoke with Jeff Brunton. He's the Deputy Chief Investment Officer at Supergroup Hester. Jeff, first of all, looking back at the year that was, what drove the markets?
Ricardo, it was a very interesting year. We had resilient global share markets were a key driver of the strong performance over the year, but it was a year of high volatility and high uncertainty with central banks first reducing rates and then having to change course and increase interest rates. We had inflation remaining elevated and markets were swimming from optimism to pessimism as geopolitical tensions were rising. And then the sharpest jolt came in March with the escalating tensions in the Middle East triggering an energy supply shock. And markets fell in the immediate aftermath before steadying. There was some wobbles with the on and off again headlines around ceasefire, but ultimately, as the worst seemed to pass, global shares eventually climbed back to new records on what looks to be quite a strong US, particularly US economic outlook, and really strong tech-led earnings, really being driven by the AI capex cycle that we're seeing going on all around us.
If we look at superannuation more broadly, right, and super funds, ChantWest told me today that the median growth fund is expected to have returned around 9% over the financial year. That's despite the local share market up around about 3.5% only. Why the outperformance? Is it because of this diversification into those larger overseas markets that you've just mentioned about? And should investors be happy?
Yes, Ricardo, I think investors should be happy this year. Strong performance like this translates into real growth in our members' retirement savings. Hester is on track in our balanced growth My Super option to deliver a return around 8 to 9%, which would be great for our over 1 million members working in the care economy parts of the Australian economy. And the main driver of that, as I said, is the international stock markets. But at Hester, we run a total portfolio approach.
When you look ahead into the new financial year, what are you expecting? What are some of the themes that might arise, and should investors continue to expect these types of returns?
Yes, heading into the new financial year, we're optimistic about the opportunities for long-term investors. We're going to stay focused on diverse investments in areas where we see compelling long-term value, areas including healthcare, housing, climate solutions, artificial intelligence. We do see inflation being a bit higher than in the long run, and we do still think that there'll be ongoing political uncertainty. But on the whole, we're going to continue to work very closely with our overseas partners to ensure that we bring about great long-term outcomes for our members.
I want to focus now, if we can, a little bit on a report released by the corporate regulator today, APRA. It says Australia's biggest super funds have become so large that their decisions can either stabilise or amplify a financial crisis. Do you think funds like Hester now see itself as more than just a retirement fund, but as a critical part of Australia's infrastructure?
Yes, typically super funds, including Hester, invest over very long-term horizons, investing right across the economy. What's good for our members over a 30-year horizon is usually good for the stability of the system as a whole. Super's long-term patient capital has long been a stabilizer and a steady influencer of the economy, not a source of stress. We have the ability to ride out the volatility and look through the volatility rather than amplifying, and in doing so, we provide certainty. Those kinds of markets events, like COVID, for instance, like the war in the Middle East, they offer us great opportunities to redeploy capital in moments of stress that can really stand up and deliver great long-term outcomes for our members.
That moment of stress is quite interesting because APRA has brought that up a couple of times in its report. It has some concerns about size and concentration. I mean, APRA's warning that the decisions by just a handful of very large funds could have outsized effects across the economy. What's your response to that? And what kinds of responsibilities does that leave organisations like yours with?
Yes, well, we need a strong, well-regulated superannuation system that's in our members' best interest. We are very conscious of our responsibilities and impact we have as a large fund managing more than $100 billion on behalf of our 1 million members. As a long-term responsible investor, we use our scale, we use our positive net cash flow from our members and our long investment horizon to really invest for tomorrow. We think that investing patiently, managing that long-term financial risks like climate, also being an active steward of the companies we own, is what makes a large fund a steadying influence rather than a destabilising one.
That's Jeff Brunton there, the Deputy Chief Investment Officer at HESTA, and he wraps up the podcast for this Tuesday. Give it a like, a review and subscribe if you enjoy it. Don't forget you can watch On The Money during the 6:30 weekday edition of SBS World News on SBS. The podcast returns tomorrow. It drops after the market close every weekday, and I'll catch you then.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
Hi, it's Noor Haider, one of the hosts of The Guardian's daily news podcast, Full Story. Every weekday, we bring you a single story, going beyond the headlines and taking you closer to The Guardian's journalism. Combining personal storytelling with analysis, we take you inside the stories that matter most. For fearless, independent reporting that holds power to account, listen to Full Story from The Guardian, wherever you get your podcasts.